All right. Last week of Home Run Kids. It's been 3 weeks. We're talking about parenting. This is the last week. We've been following an analogy for that, which we'll get to in a minute. Hopefully it's been good for you. I know it's been good for me. Every time I hear that video at the beginning of service and he goes, as a kid, following rules are hard. I'm like, as an adult, following rules are hard. Right? Like, it doesn't get that much easier just because I'm an adult. Okay, so this morning, any Monty Python fans? It's people like love that movie, any of those movies, Monty Python, Holy Grail, you thinking of some funny scenes right now in your head? Okay, so I'm thinking of one in particular this morning that's quite relevant for what we're talking about. There's a scene, I'm not going to show it to you, but there's a scene, I'm going to describe it to you, of a king. He's in a castle with his son. If you remember the movie much, the son has a real whiny little voice, and the king is describing all of the great things his son will inherit and how he will get this castle and all of this land, and he's about to marry this girl, and she has lots more land, and so he's like, look at all this great stuff, you know, you're going to rule. And this guy has the son has this real kind of nasally, whiny voice, and he's like, but father, I don't want any of that, right? And he goes, I just want, in the background, this music starts playing, and he's like, I just want to sing, right? And that's all he wants to do is just like, he's just always trying to sing. And the father's like, enough of that, right? Like, no, you're going to get land, you're going to rule, and that's what you're going to do. Right, and it's just really funny. If you've seen Monty Python, it's a really funny scene. But it's Monty Python, so we probably shouldn't watch it in church. Anyway, if you've ever been a parent or been around children, you've probably experienced the moment when a parent wants something, in this instance, the king, wanting his son to rule, and there is a child who then doesn't want anything to do with whatever it is the parent thinks is important. Or whatever it is they think their child ought to do. How many of you have ever noticed that even though the kids might have come from you, they can be really different than you, right? If you've had children, if you've seen parents of children and watched them from a distance, you've probably noticed it. Of course, there's a ton of similarities, but I've already noticed as a parent, there's times when you go, I don't think you actually came from me. Like, I don't think whatever made you up somehow that did not come from me. Where did you get that? I'm blaming the church in general. Someone here taught my child that. It wasn't me. I remember a dad telling his story one time of his son. He was his first kid, and he was a big sports guy and loved sports. And so he thought, okay, I'm going to have a son. My son is going to love sports, and he's going to be involved in every sport. And he was so excited. And so his son finally got to the age where he could play sports, and he got him enrolled in like everything, right? Football and baseball and softball and whatever you could do, soccer, because he's just a mega sports dude, right? Like, this is going to be awesome. And then my kid's going to like to watch sports. So now, like, my wife's not going to be able to rag on me because, like, we'll watch sports together, and it'll be a father-son activity, right? Like, this is a good thing now. Then he said this sort of moment hit him because his son apparently didn't like having, you know, baseball, for instance, little hard balls being thrown at him or hit at him. And eventually he says it was only like one or two games into this baseball season, and his son is in the middle of the game just weeping in the middle of the field going, I don't want to be, right? Like, I hate baseball. I don't want to do this. He's like, and that's when it hit me. Like, he actually doesn't like this stuff. Weird. How could that be my child? It's not really weird, though, is it? I mean, we experience this all the time. We see it. We understand it. Your kids are not you. They're not wired like you. And some of our job as parents is to figure out how they are wired. How is it that they're built? How has God made them? And how do we guide them down that path wisely, which is not our path? And so that's what we're talking about today. We've been talking about some other avenues. Today we're talking about how do we help our kids love what it is that they're good at, grow in what it is that they're good at, understand what it is that they're good at, and continue to use that effectively for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to draw the pattern again, because hopefully, like, the more times we do this, and there's something in like psychology about doing things lots of times and then you remember. I think it's true. Or combining multiple mediums. So I'm talking and I'm writing. Yeah, yep, I know. You didn't want to know that this morning. Okay, so the baseball diamond, this is how we've been talking about home run life, right? We've talked about the home plate being connect. That was the first week. We talked about the importance that we have to start as parents and with ourselves with the connection with our Creator. So we said with our kids, we might call this love God first. I'll do the abbreviation. Yep. Love God first. That's where we need to begin. And we talked about that 3 weeks ago. We said, how might we help our kids cultivate a love for God, a connection with Him first? Then we said after that, in the home run life, this is the character base. How do we help our kids love themselves? So as they connect with their Creator, then God wants to do some things in them and as a part of their heart and their growth and their development and their character. So how do we help our kids grow in those things? That was the second week. Last week, we talked about community. Talked about how once we kind of work the bases, then God starts to help us love others well. And we said some things like, you really can't do this base until you do these ones very well, because you have nothing to give here if you're not being filled by your Creator in the beginning. And so we talked about these. Today, we'll be on base three, which in the Home Run book is called competence. But for our kids' sake, we'll call it love what you do. How do we help our kids win at third base? How do we help them love what it is that God has made them to do, grow in that, understand it, develop, and be effective? Kids who see their gifts and abilities, the things that God has given them, and who begin to take those skills and abilities and apply them in the world in the various arenas and places God has them. Maybe it's their work, maybe it's in their community, maybe it's in their family. Could be anywhere. How do we help our kids leverage those things going forward? So we're going to look at maybe a strange place, but Exodus chapter 31 this morning, the first six verses, if you want to turn there. Might not be a place you'd think we'd look for a topic on parenting, but I think it gives three really practical tips, and then we're just going to focus on those for the rest of the time. A real quick background to this passage would be in Exodus 31, it's right at the end of a few chapters where if you go back to chapter 24, 23 in that area, you'll see that God establishes his covenant with his people. So there's this moment, I think in chapter 24, where the Israelites say to God, yes, we'll receive all of this stuff you've told us and we'll obey all the things you've commanded. There's a sort of like sealing of a covenant. And then for the next chapters, all the way up until 31, there's directions then. Okay, you've received the covenant. He goes, here's how the priests should behave. This is what they should do and what they should wear. This is how you're going to do offerings and all that kind of stuff. This is then how you're going to construct the tabernacle and the place that you'll worship. And there's quite a detailed list of instructions, and we're coming in kind of at the end of the part about how they will construct the tabernacle. So that's what we find right here in the first part of Exodus 31, and this is what it says. The Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri. There's a lot of really good names in here. Like, pencil these in, future children. The Bible's full of these great names for future kids. Bezalel, I think that's a good one. You just call him B for short, or Bez. Alel, if you want, for short. Okay, the tribe of Judah. I filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom and ability and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And I've personally appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I've given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I've commanded you to make. Apart from the crazy names, there's one thing I want you to see in here, really, and it's repeated over and over. He continues to say it in these short six verses. Did you see what was repeated? I have specifically chosen, God says. I have filled. I have given wisdom and ability. I have appointed. I have given special skill. He continues to repeat this. God defines himself as the source of these gifts, which are then used for the good of the community. The source of all the gifts that Bezalel and all these other men have, all these craftsmen, God says, I'm the source of those things. I am the one that has given them this ability, this talent, this skill. I've put that in them. One commentary said this. It said, God had given Bezalel a strong natural aptitude for mechanical skill. It's just like a gift, something he was good at in his life. And my guess is, and the text doesn't say it exactly, my guess is Bezalel had to work on that, that these craftsmen had to work on that. It says they became experts at it, that they were very skilled at all areas of their craft. I would imagine as they grew older, his parents played a big role in that in his life. How did he grow to become a craftsman for the community of Israel? That's the simple principle this morning, the first one we have to get if we're going to win at third base. For us, it's true for you, and it's true for your kids. God has put stuff in you. God has put stuff in your kids, skills, abilities, talents, and gifts. And so some of our role as parents, when it comes especially to this third base idea, is to partner with God in discovering what they are. What is it that your child is gifted and passionate about? What is it that God has given them, and how do you encourage it? And we're going to talk about two ways to kind of understand that, one through three principles quickly, and then one through four questions. But before we do that, I think there's something really important. And this is broken out This is a principle I thought was really helpful from the Home Run book, but I think we need to talk about it because we mess this up a lot. We mess this base up more often than maybe any base in culture. And I think if I can steal some terms, I will. There's a thing like self-worth, right? Worth. And there's we're going to define something else just called work worth. And I'm going to suggest that we need to find these in these zones, and that we frequently don't. Let me explain kind of what I mean by that. I think what we often do is we confuse our self-worth, our value, with what it is that we do and how it is that we perform. And we do that with our kids too. If we don't achieve, then we have no value. If we don't have success, we have no value. Or if we do, then we have tons of value, tons of worth. I think these things are very confused. Self-worth, though, is something in us that ought to be solved in the first two bases of our life. It ought to be solved in our connection with our Creator and what He's doing in us. Our work worth, so to speak, our contribution to the world is something entirely different, and it will look different for all of us. Self-worth is tied to who you are in God and the fact that He created you in His image. He created you to be in relationship with Him. Your value and worth in that is set. And it's the same for all of us. He created all of us and loves all of us. Your worth is inherent in that. And because of that, we're all similar in this respect. Even though many of us don't know this deeply, or we don't believe it deeply, or we certainly aren't resting in that reality. But it is true. And part of raising kids is helping them understand that their value, their worth, is not in the things that they do. It's not in their competence. It's not in what others think of them. It is found in their Creator and the fact that He has established them and made them with unique passions and skills and abilities. And it so often goes wrong because we take our work worth and we make it our self-worth. There's a story that Kevin, the guy that came up with this thing, tells, and it's a pastor story, so you have to forgive the pastor story, but he planted a church. So some people go into a new community, start a new church, he did that. And for the first 4 years of that, it basically just like stayed the same. They started with a certain number of people, they had that exact same number of people after 4 years, and he said he started really, like he was going to close the church. He was just super frustrated. And he didn't know what to do. And he was praying and he said, basically God said, what you're doing is you are taking this and you're defining it by this. You're saying that because this church hasn't done certain things, because that's your job or your work, then now all of a sudden you are not what you're supposed to be. You're finding your worth in that. And he said, I want you to go back and find your worth in me, your value in me. And whatever happens with the gifts I've given you, trust that to me. But you find your value and your gift in me, your worth in me. It's important. We have to help our kids learn to distinguish self-worth from work worth. Third base is not where you determine your value. That is established at home plate and then first base, but not at third. And every kid will encounter this at some point. And our culture will continue to push them toward the idea that achievement or winning or success is what defines their worth. It is not. It is so important to help our kids see this. Their worth and their value is in their Creator. If it's true, then what? How do we help our kids partner with God once they've established that they're valued and loved and connected to their Creator? How do we help them then say, well, what has He gifted you with? And how has He helped you? How can you use that? How can you become competent? How can you love what you do? There's three words that come out, I think, of the passage in Exodus that are pretty clear. They're easy to follow. Three things. Gifting comes out in that passage. Discover what you're good at. Training, advance those skills and build them. And I'm going to use the word honor, but essentially use those gifts then for the glory of God in the world. Gifting, training, and honoring. You can see it in the passage in Exodus pretty clearly. Bezalel and the other craftsmen, they had some innate skill. God said He gave them these things. You can see they honed those skills, and then they used those skills for the good of the community, for the glory of God. Gifting, training, honoring. How do you do that? Well, how are your kids gifted? You have to become sort of like Sherlock Holmes, right? Like, how are they gifted? I don't know. Because what our natural response is to go, they're just like me, or to see the things that are like me in them that I appreciate. But we don't know everything, and we have to collect some clues about how our kids function, about how they're put together. Like, it can be little things, like, are they introverted or extroverted? Are they a planner, or are they a spur-of-the-moment person? Do they tend to be people-oriented or more like project-oriented? Put them in a room full of kids, do they tend to sit in the corner and build things, or do they tend to interact and play? Are they type A and crazy organized? Are they type B and way laid back? Are they more academic? Are they more emotional? Are they less emotional? I mean, there's all sorts of different things. We can look at our kids and go, how has God crafted them and made them? And some of our goal as parents is to say, I got to understand that. I got to understand how they're gifted and how they're made. How did God wire them? Yesterday, we had a yard sale at our house. Awesome day for rain, by the way. And anyway, so we were having this yard sale, and this some friends showed up that I haven't seen in a while, and it was a father and his son. And we started talking, and the son is just about to start school for creative writing at Gonzaga. Cool, it's awesome. And as we're talking, we kind of started laughing because the son is very creative. I mean, very musical, very creative, very artistic. And the dad is a CPA, and he is very analytical and very black and white and has no mind at all to even consider things which are artistic or creative. And the thing that we laughed a lot because both of us said, yeah, I could never do creative writing. Like, that's not in my makeup to, like, make art or make art from words or all sorts of stuff. And the dad was the same way. But what he did do is he figured out that was what his kid was good at, right? He didn't say, you have to be good at accounting because I am. He said, it seems like you're really into music and arts and things that are creative, and how can I help you in that? How can I? But first, he's had to determine it, right? He had to say, this is what he's good at. I have to look at my kid and go, God, how have you made this child? How have you gifted him? And then he moved to the second step, right? He said, okay, I kind of understand a little bit. Then he went to, how do I train that? How do I build that? How do I encourage it? This father in particular found opportunities to help him grow musically. He got him involved with groups or other things that would help him grow in those areas that he was not strong at, knowing that those things would fit his son perfectly. How does he continue to grow? Your goal as a parent is not to reproduce yourself. It's to help your child rise up to the best of his or her potential in the way God made them. And that's probably going to look different than you. So how might we do that? I'll give you four questions that you could start to ask yourself and your kids, and maybe a way to think about this process of helping our kids know how they're gifted. It's actually a way to walk around the bases and get to third base. It looks like this. The first one is you're going to ask the question, a home base question, a home plate question. God, what am I good at? Literally, like, ask him. What did the passage in Exodus say? It said, God gave all these gifts to these people. If he's the one that's done it, then why don't we ask him, God, reveal to me. Open my eyes to the things that I'm gifted at and help ask that for your child. What are the things, God, that my kid is gifted? Maybe you pray that prayer with your child. God, how have you made me? What are the things that I really enjoy? What are the things that I'm really good at? I think God will tell you if we spend time with him. That's a first base question. That might be some of the way you would discern what your child's good at. Then we could ask maybe a first base question. What am I not good at? Both of those fall under gifting, right? What am I good at? What am I not good at? But the reason I say it's a first base question is because you have to be able to own it, right? You have to be able to be honest. And that's a character thing. How many times have we done things in our life and gone like, I'm just unwilling to admit defeat. I'm unwilling to admit that I'm not good at this. Someone told me I had to do this, so I will do it. Those are character things. They're me feeling like a sense of like, oh, prideful. I can't admit defeat. There's all sorts of reasons that keep us from admitting what we're not good at. And if we're going to help our kids, we got to say, let's talk about both what we're good at. And then let's be honest. There's some things you're just not good at. And that's okay. You don't have to be good at them. Help your kids understand that. There are things they're great at. There's things they're not so good at, and that's all right. Everybody's good at something, but nobody's good at everything. Be honest with ourselves. So we ask a first base question, God, what am I good at? We might ask a second base question, what am I not good at? Or first base question, what am I not good at? A great second base question in this process of how do we help our kids know who can help me? Who else can be involved in this process that would help my child grow? How can you get your kids around people who can help them? This parent I mentioned who was a CPA and analytical and not creative at all, he would not be of much use to his child in this arena of being creative and developing that. And so he pushed or helped his child get in arenas where there were people who could speak into his life and build that up. He got him involved in teams of things that would contribute to building that. How do you get your child around like-minded, like-skilled people who are more gifted than you are in the things your child is gifted in so they can continue to grow in those and train those up? This is the real value of a coach or a mentor in life, right? Not a coach that just tries to reproduce themselves in you, but someone who actually sees what you're good at and coaches that up and makes it better. That's the real value in these things. They help us hone and train our gifting and our strength. And then you could just ask the third base question of how do I just get better then at what I do? If these are the things I'm really good at, how do I continue to get better? And that's the question I think you probably never stop asking the rest of your life. Once you figure those things out, once you go, God, how am I made? How am I not made? Are there people that can help me grow in this? And then just help me get better every day at these things I'm really good at. That never stops for us. Bezalel didn't become good at what he did just because God zapped him and he was awesome, right? Like we dropped into this chapter 31 and it said Bezalel was this great craftsman. Well, it wasn't like they needed a craftsman and Bezalel said a prayer one night and he was like, he was an accountant and like boom, like he's great with metal, you know, and all sorts of creative stuff. Like God doesn't work like that, right? That's not usually the way these things work. God has gifted us with things. Bezalel had to figure out what those were. Then he had to train those things up. He probably had to do that with some other people that were better than him at these things. And he had to continue to refine those. And then as opportunities came, like this one, to craft very important things for the temple, he was ready and skilled to do that and to contribute for the glory of God, what he was gifted to do. So I can give you three words maybe with this. I can give you things like gifting and training and honoring. I can give you some questions. God, might I be good at? What am I not good at? Who can help me with that? How do I get better? But in the end, I think we have to hope to communicate to our kids that all of this, that the goal is not that we just get here. Okay, we're talking about this and there's not another week. So you're going like, okay, third base is the end. Third base just hopefully sends us back to home. Hopefully, when we learn these things and we grow and we help our kids know them, they push us back to home plate where we give all the glory in these things to God. In the end, even Bezalel is not, you could use the analogy of the sun and the moon, right? Bezalel is the moon. He is reflecting the glory of God in all the things he is doing because he's using his skills and his abilities. All he can do is reflect the light. It's not the source of the light. When you become highly successful, when your kids become highly successful or effective in the areas that you're gifted in, when you shine in those areas, we have to continue to remind them that is not just you, that is God and what he has done in you, how he has trained you up, the things he has gifted you with. We have to bring third base back home for our kids. Because if we don't do that, what starts to happen? We start to think that we're kind of the bee's knees, right? Like, look, that's an old saying. I'm sorry I used that one. We start to think we're pretty cool because we have all these skills and all these great abilities. Maybe we've even walked these bases to get there. But pretty soon we start going like, I can do all this by myself. And it starts to break down. Not even just that. Scripture says when we start to get prideful or arrogant that God opposes us. It says God opposes those who are proud, but he'll give grace if you're humble. If you'll continue to work the bases. So I'll ask you two questions at the end of the day today. We've talked about this whole base thing. We've talked about it in connecting with our kids and raising them. We've talked about helping them love God well. We've talked about helping them work on character and loving themselves well, community, loving the things that God has gifted them in and growing in that. For this whole series, just these two questions. What's one thing you're doing really well? As we've talked about this home run series, there's probably things in your parenting or with the kids you deal with in your life that you're going like, yeah, we're actually doing that one pretty good. Keep doing that. Like identify that, be intentional about it, continue it. And second, what is just one thing from this entire 4 weeks that you would go, that's something we could do, I could do. That's something I could be intentional about. I could start that practice in my life. There's been some really practical stuff. There's been some more theoretical questions. What's something you might start in your parenting so we help our kids win at the whole picture, not just little pieces here and there? Those are my two questions. What are you doing well? What might be one thing you could start in your parenting or when you work with kids? Let's pray. Father, thanks for this analogy. This analogy for me, God, is just really helpful. It's obviously not from your word. It just brings together a lot of principles and a lot of ideas and a lot of scripture into sort of a pattern that can just help us as we think about our own spiritual growth, but also as we think about how we might parent our children. Will you help us to be really intentional about doing things in the right order? Don't let us get off kilter. Don't let us start focusing on things that are later around the bases. Let us start with a serious and strong connection personally with you and then helping our kids to establish that too. Help us to rely on you for our character and the way we live and to grow us into the people you want us to be. Help us to model that for our kids and then to help our kids do that. Then help us to live that out into community, to give ourselves away to others. Once we've found that we can be filled by you and overflow that life into others. And then give us the wisdom as parents to discern how you've gifted our kids, the way you've made them, designed them, the way you've wired them. Help us to understand that well and see that. It can sometimes be hard, God, I admit, to see some of these things, and we struggle a little bit. So give us clarity on those. Help us to ask good questions. Help us to ask you, God, what's going on with my kids? How do I help them? And then help us train those things up so that those gifts could be used to honor you in the world and all that our kids do. We're thankful, God, that you've entrusted to us such a wonderful blessing. And we need your help. Be with us the rest of this week, Father, in all we do. We're thankful for Christ, thankful for what you mean to us and your love for us, Father. Amen. Amen. Hope you'll join us downstairs.